You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to your Valentine's Views podcast for Monday. If you're watching us on YouTube, please like, share, and subscribe. And if you're listening on Big Blue View Radio, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm joined today by Patricia Traina of Giants Country and Locked On Giants, good friend here to talk about Giants free agency, the draft, and all that good stuff. Patty, how you doing?
Hanging in, Ed. It was a busy first week of free agency. Exciting, a lot to talk about, and still a lot of stuff coming up that I'm sure we'll be talking about over the coming weeks.
Absolutely. It's almost a little bit of a take your, you know, kind of catch your breath time a little bit right now, but still a lot coming down the pipe, and a lot of draft stuff to talk about. On my show, you know, I've had Tony DelGenio and Nick Filato on after some of the big moves that the Giants made last week to kind of break those things down, give some perspective on those things. And what I kind of want to do today is sort of take inventory of where the Giants are and where they want to go or where they need to go going forward. And when you look at what they've done, Patty, and what they haven't done as of yet, they made some big moves. Darren Waller, Bobby Okereke, bringing in Paris Campbell. They've done some interesting things and things that should help them. But when you look at it, when you look at the Giants as of today, what haven't they done yet in your mind that you think they need to do?
Offensive line. Got to address the interior of the offensive line. They lost Nick Gates. They don't have John Feliciano signed as of this recording. Really the only center with experience I think they have on the roster, if I'm not mistaken, is Ben Bredesen, who is under contract. You've got to address that offensive line and ideally that center position. Because, look, you've got two young tackles who are currently on their rookie contract. You've got potentially, you know, if Josh Azudu or Marcus McKeithen can somehow win starting jobs, they're on their rookie contracts. Then if you add a center on a rookie contract, now you've got a good young line and the chance to have some continuity, which is so hard to do in the NFL when it comes to offensive lines. I mean, every year it seems like some teams just keep turning over spots on their offensive line. How about some continuity? We go back and we look at the Giants of 2007 through 2010. They had continuity and they were a pretty good line. And they, you know, they were a brick wall for Eli Manning. Well, doesn't Daniel Jones deserve the same type of, you know, brick wall? I mean, they just invested 4 years, $160 million in him. So why not give him the protection of a good, solid line that's going to be together for a while?
Absolutely, Patty. And the one question that I have, or the one surprising thing to me, I suppose, at this point, I always knew that it was really going to be a choice for the Giants between Nick Gates and John Feliciano in terms of bringing one back. I never expected both to be back. And, you know, Gates moved on to Washington. The Giants were never going to pay him 3 years and $16.5 million. That just wasn't going to happen. But I'm a little bit surprised at this point that they haven't re-upped with John Feliciano yet. Are you a little bit surprised by that as well?
Yes and no. I think they will eventually, but I think they had some other priorities they wanted to address. So I do think Feliciano will be back. I don't think it'll be more than a one-year deal, but they wanted to address some of these other needs. You know, they added to the receiver core. They added to the defensive line, and it looks like they're trying to continue to add to the defensive line with, you know, A'shaun Robinson, who's coming in on Monday, or is reportedly coming in on Monday. They added to the linebacker group, you know, with Bobby Okereke. So I'm not stunned that Feliciano isn't back, but I do think they will look to add a veteran center, whether it be him or if somebody shakes loose, maybe they look to, you know, bring him in. And I would love to see them take a center in the draft. I really would. If there's one sitting there, shoot, grab them. I mean, you'd have a young offensive core and a brick wall for Daniel Jones to function behind. And that's something he just hasn't had.
Absolutely, Patty. And it's been a long time since the Giants had a center who was more than basically who ended up as more than a one-year fill-in. One-year stopgap.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, and you simply can't build a solid offensive line, one that, as you said, has continuity, one that, you know, from year to year, you know what you're going to get. You can't do that when you don't know who's going to be snapping the ball. You just can't.
Right, and there's such a thing as chemistry between the quarterback and the center. You know, if you think back to when Sean O'Hara was here and Eli Manning was the quarterback, how many times did we hear Sean O'Hara say over the course of a season, Eli and I practiced snapping the ball 1,000 times? And did they have very many botched snaps between them? I can't think of a whole lot off the top of my head. You know, so it is so important. And then the other thing is in the protection calls. You know, if the center's making the protection calls, he's got to be seeing what the quarterback is thinking. So that chemistry and being on the same page, so important. And how do you get that if you keep turning over the center spot every year?
Absolutely. So, Patty, the other thing, when I look at what hasn't been done, really, the Giants lost Julian Love. And, you know, we can talk about why and whether we're surprised or not. I'm personally not surprised that Julian Love moved on. When I look at needs, things that the Giants need to do, I think that defensive secondary, particularly cornerback, but maybe even safety if there's, you know, if there's somebody there, you know, at 57 or even 25 or whatever, if there's somebody out there that they really like, I still feel like cornerback, especially for Wink Martindale, because I said this at Big Blue View the other day, and I honestly believe this. The Giants drafted at number 5 a year ago, and they drafted Kayvon Thibodeau, and no one is going to complain about having Kayvon Thibodeau because he's a heck of a player. But I will always believe they would have drafted Sauce Gardner at number 5 if Gardner had if the Jets hadn't gotten there first at number 4. Wink Martindale says all the time that cornerback is so important to his defense. In fact, a year ago, I think he admitted cornerback is more important than pass rusher because of the pressure he puts on those guys. So I look at corner, and I don't expect the Giants to go spend money, a ton of money, but I would expect them to address cornerback fairly highly in the draft. I don't know. How do you see that?
I agree. I could see it possibly being in the first round because this is a deep cornerback class. But I think if the center is there, like I'm a big Schmitz fan, John Michael Schmitz, love the guy. Mm-hmm. If he's sitting there at 25, I don't see him getting to the Giants in the second round. I think at 57, where they draft in the second round. So do I see a potential for a cornerback at 57? Yes. And you're absolutely right. I mean, right now the Giants have Adoree Jackson as their number one cornerback. And this is a guy who I think this is the last year of his contract. He has a voidable year after this year. So who knows if he's going to be extended. You have, you know, a couple of young guys. You've got Cordell Flott, who didn't look horrible, but, you know, there's still some questions about him because he did miss some time. Aaron Robinson, who can't stay on the field. You know, Darnay Holmes, who it just seems like every year they want to draft over him. They need to add to that position, I think, because, you know, they have quantity, but whether they have quality, I think you can make a case that maybe they don't have what they need just yet.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Patty, what I want to talk about a little bit, I want to talk about what the Giants have done over the last week and what we've seen in the marketplace and the impact on a couple of Giants in particular. We know that on Monday, as you mentioned, the Giants reportedly are bringing in A'shaun Robinson for a visit, defensive tackle, played the last 3 years for the Rams. They signed Raheem Nunez-Roches, Nacho, as he wants to be called, you know, run-stopping defensive tackle. It's obviously a position that they are prioritizing. But and we keep talking about, we keep waiting for a Leonard Williams contract extension. But there's a little nagging voice in the back of my head that keeps wondering, the more guys they bring in, and if you look at the draft, there's a possibility of a couple defensive tackles that might be interesting at 25 as well. Brian Bresee is one of those guys. But there's a little nagging voice in the back of my head saying, if they bring in enough guys, they might move on from Leonard Williams this offseason. Mm-hmm. I don't know. What's your thought on what you think might happen here with Williams?
Wow. You can't rule that out. $32 million is Williams' cap hit, but see, there's two things with Williams which I take into consideration is why I'm not surprised something hasn't been done there yet. Number one, he's coming off of a neck issue that bothered him down the stretch. So I know I have said in the case with Xavier McKinney, and people say, oh, the Giants got to extend him. I say, no, they got to see how McKinney goes through with his rehab on that hand, and if he can get that hand, you know, up to snuff. Well, I think the same argument can be made with Leonard Williams. You know, is he going to be okay moving forward? I mean, we don't know where he is health-wise. I think everybody's optimistic that he'll be okay, but, you know, we don't know publicly where they stand. The other issue is that Williams is, what, going to be 29, if I'm not mistaken? He's had injuries over the last couple of years, and we're talking about a contract extension, not a restructure. With a restructure, those are a lot easier to do because a team can just go to a player and say, okay, we're going to convert, you know, whatever percentage or whatever millions of dollars of your base salary, give it to you up front, and we're going to lower your base, but this is going to help us. So the player doesn't lose any money in the process.
It's just, it's accounting, basically.
Right, right. Right. You're just moving, you're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul, so to speak.
Right.
So with a contract extension, you know, now you're talking something that's a little bit more complex. You know, do the Giants want Williams for 3 years? Does Williams only want 2 years? So there's all kinds of, you know, little things that have to factor in. And it's not as easy to get this done because you're not talking a restructure, you're talking an extension. So I think that, and I also wonder, you know, how much the injuries are playing into the equivalent. I still think, for the record, Leonard Williams, when healthy, he's a very good player. He can definitely help this team. And I do think they want him, you know, moving forward. But long-term, what, I mean, how would you define long-term for him? 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? Right. That's where the question has to, you know, be answered.
Right. There are two things with Williams that nag at me a little bit. And one, as you said, he was a rock for many, many years in the NFL, never missing time. We've, you know, this past year for the first time he missed games. And the reality of it is when you get to 29, 30, you get to your eighth, ninth year in the NFL, that doesn't get better.
Yeah.
That doesn't get better. There are going to be missed games. There are going to be, you know, what we see right now from Leonard Williams, he's not going to get better as a player. And there's two things that nag at me. And one is, how long is that extension going to be? Because you don't want to be tied to him for 4 more years or whatever. You know, you'd love to add one, maybe two at the most. And the other thing that nags at me is that I've been told that Leonard Williams and his reps are a very difficult negotiation. They want to squeeze every dollar out of everything. And that nags at me, and it just makes me wonder if the Giants will get to a point where they look at this and say, we just can't get to a deal that makes sense, and we need this money, and we don't want to move on, but we just can't get to a deal that makes sense. So, you know, moving on from Williams is what they wind up having to do.
And then there's another factor here. Remember, the Giants restructured Williams, I think, twice the last couple of years. So his prorated bonus right now for 2023, $14.26 million. Then in 2024, it's $5.96 million. So if you restructure or extend him and lower that $18 million base salary that he has, now you're going to add on to the prorated bonus. You're talking a hefty amount here. So if you cut Williams and you make him a post-June 1st designation, that's an $18 million saving with a $14.26 million cap hit this year and a $5.96 million next year, which they were going to absorb anyway if they left the contract as is, because in 2024, he's got the voidable year. If you make him a pre-June or a standard cut, little over 12 million in savings, and then you have a 20.22 million dead money hit. So in this case, if the Giants were to move on from Leonard Williams, a post June 1st cut, I think, would make sense, but I think they would like to have him. I'd be very surprised if he's cut, but certainly I could see a scenario where maybe that could be in the cards, because look, the Giants have already restructured Darren Waller's contract. I don't know necessarily if they want to have to redo Adoree Jackson's contract. You know, ideally, I think they'd like to get something done with Dexter Lawrence to lower his number. I know they'd like to get something done with Saquon to lower his number. But where else are you going to get money from? I mean, the Giants, I think last I checked, they had under $1 million in effective cap space, according to Over the Cap. Now, that'll change, obviously, but you need money to sign your draft class. You need money to get you through the year. Where's that money going to come from?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we'll have to follow what happens with Leonard Williams. It's an interesting situation, a little bit of a sticky situation. And you're right. The Giants don't want to lose him. They didn't want to lose James Bradbury a year ago, but sometimes in a salary cap driven league with a hard cap, sometimes things happen simply because of the finances. And Patty, the other player we absolutely have to talk about, you mentioned him a minute ago. We have to talk about Saquon. He's on the $10.1 million franchise tag this year. I think he's one of three running backs, Josh Jacobs, and I can't think of the other one who's on the franchise tag
for Pollard.
Pollard, who's on the franchise tag for 2023. You know, we've heard the numbers. We heard that he turned down, you know, a $12.5 million annual value long-term deal a while ago. You heard earlier in the offseason that he wants more than that. The Giants are pretty much dug in on their number. I've begun to wonder two things. I've begun to wonder if a long-term deal is ever going to get done. And I've also begun to wonder if, from the Giants' perspective, that $12.5 million is even still on the table. So, and if it's not, there's no way they get a long-term deal done. But
yeah,
but I'm just what's your sense of the Barkley situation?
Well, I don't think the Giants will pull that $12.5 million deal off the table. I think, you know, I had heard that they had gotten as high as 13. Now, that said, I don't think they want to go any higher than that. And you look at what running backs are getting on the open market, and it's not a whole lot.
No, that's why you wonder, because that's a lot of money compared to what everybody else is getting.
Right. Now, you know, $10 million is not bad for Saquon. I mean, all things considered, I mean, what did Miles Sanders get? I want to say he got 9.
He got less than that. I'd have to look it up, Patty.
I think it was 6. Wasn't it like 54 for 4 or something like that? I think it was, but it was less than that. All right. Now, I'm not comparing and saying that, you know, Saquon is on par with Miles Sanders, two different very types of players. But you have a deep running back class.
Miles Sanders, but let me just toss this out quickly. Miles Sanders got 4 years and $25.4 million, so a little bit over $6 million a year.
Okay, so there you go. All right. You have a deep running back class in this draft. Everybody has said this is a deep class for running backs. Saquon doesn't have leverage here. I think, you know, quite honestly, his side overplayed this. You knew the minute that Daniel Jones got done, you knew what was coming. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't blame Saquon. I don't blame any player for wanting to get as much as they can, because this is such a small window to maximize your earning. But you also have to read the market, you know, and you know, I don't know if reports of him wanting $16 million, which is what McCaffrey gets a year, I don't know if those are true or not, or $15 million, which Zeke was getting before he was cut. But, you know, you got to know the market. And I just feel like his side overplayed their hand a little bit here. The Giants have the leverage. And, you know, people always ask me, oh, if they don't get a deal done, will Saquon hold out? He might skip the spring. I could see that. Would he skip training camp? Maybe in the beginning. But, you know, I always go back and I remember how Saquon multiple times said, gosh, when I was injured, I missed being out there with my brothers. I missed playing. I missed the game. I loved the game. And I get it. You know, you have a small window to earn, but to have $10 million plus guaranteed, that's not a bad chunk of change. I think I could retire comfortably on that. I mean, I don't know what expenses he has or whatnot or what his lifestyle is like, but, you know, you have to understand the market. And I question whether or not, you know, there's that good understanding of the market.
Well, the other thing, when you say understand the market, you can, I think you also might have said read the room. And if you're not going to, if you didn't, then I will say that as well.
Yeah.
Here's the reality. Joe Shane didn't draft Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. Joe Shane would not have drafted Saquon Barkley at number 2. No way. No way. Yeah. Because you look at Joe Shane's history, you look at the teams he's worked for. Joe doesn't value a running back that way.
Right.
You're given his choice, Joe would, I fully believe that Joe would rather not spend $13 million a year on a running back.
Yeah.
But this is the situation that the Giants are in. And in all honesty, I think that if Saquon pushes, then the Giants are just going to let him play on the tag. And I think if they don't have a deal done by the draft, the earlier the Giants take a running back, that to me, that will tell you a lot about the future of Saquon Barkley with the Giants. Because if they draft a running back, say at 57, you know, in the first two rounds, they're telling you that they're planning to move on from Saquon.
Yeah, that's a good point. Definitely. I don't think they'll take a running back in the second round. Maybe, you know, but, I could see third, fourth round. But right. Your point is, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. But the earlier they take one, the more seriously they treat the position in the draft, gives you an indication of Saquon's long-term future. I really believe that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And let's hope it works out. I mean, you know, Saquon is a wonderful player. He's been a great face of the franchise for them. And again, I understand he wants to get paid what he feels his worth is. But how many of us can sit there and say that we're worth more than what we're actually getting paid? I know I can. I know you probably can. I think everybody on the face of the planet will sit there and say, if you were to ask them and say, what do you think you're worth per year? Our employers would not agree that we're worth that as reflected in our pay.
Yeah, I fully understand that sentiment, Patty. And got to ask you about one more player who apparently thinks that he's worth a whole lot more than the market appears willing to pay him these days. And that, of course, is Odell Beckham Jr., who seems to be taking to social media these days and saying that offers for him to play for $4 million a year just aren't enough. And whatever you think of that, whatever you think of Odell, I've told you this before, but I have never really thought that Odell Beckham Jr. was going to return to the Giants, despite all the speculation and all the headlines and all the Giants reported interest and talking to him and going to his workout and all that. I have never thought that Odell Beckham Jr. at this point in his career and this edition of the Giants were a match. I'm just curious where you stand on the whole Odell thing.
Look, I mean, the Giants had to do due diligence. I don't fault them for inquiring. I don't fault them for having Odell in. I don't fault them for going to the workout. But Odell is coming off his second ACL. And yes, he did the workout and based on reports, he dazzled on the workout, but he also worked out, if I remember correctly, without a shirt on and without football equipment on, which does kind of change things a little bit because that equipment can add weight and kind of maybe change, you know, how you operate out there. That said, I mean, you know, you talk about reading the room. I can understand Odell wanting, you know, to be paid, but look at what the market's going for receivers. I don't think any receivers in free agency really made a huge deal. You know, I mean, I think they've been modest. So I don't know exactly what Odell's looking for, but if he's trying to get paid, you know, like the top receiver in the free agency class, I think he needs to maybe take a step back and reevaluate things and just, maybe, I don't know, maybe the first year becomes a prove it type deal with incentives as opposed to guaranteed money or, you know, sure things. If you're that convinced that, you know, that you're better and you're as good as new, then what's the problem with going out there and showing people?
Let me ask you this, Patty. When is the last time Odell Beckham Jr. was better than Paris Campbell, Darius Slayton, or Isaiah Hodgins?
He's been injured.
When's the last time he was better than any of those guys? He's been injured. And even if you go back and look at his numbers from Cleveland and all of that, he's not, and this is what I say to people, he is not the Odell Beckham Jr. that Giants fans remember from 2015, 2016, 2017. He is not that player anymore.
Right.
You're not getting that guy. And Odell has to look in the mirror and realize he's not that guy anymore either.
Well, I can understand it. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. sometimes you look in the mirror and you say, I'm better than ever before. But ultimately, things do catch up with you. I mean, I'd like to sit here and say that, you know, I got as much energy as I did when I was in my 20s. And, you know, that's not the case, you know. So I understand it, you know, because it's such a small window and you want to cash in on it. You want to capitalize. You know, Odell set goals for himself. He wanted to go down in history as the best receiver ever to play the game. Unfortunately, life got in the way. And at some point, you just got to sit there and say, okay, maybe I won't be the best receiver in the game, but I can work to be the best Odell that I could be.
All right, Patty, last thing for you. Between now and the NFL draft, can you see any more big moves from the Giants? I see supplemental signings. Yeah. I don't see a big move. I'm just curious if you see a spot where they might make a big move.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, their cap situation right now, I mean, I looked at over the cap. They over the cap had them at, I think it was just under $1 million in cap space, which means they're going to have to open stuff up. So where are they going to fit in a big signing? Unless they, you know, unless you're talking like a Saquon extension or a Leonard Williams extension, that would be considered big, I guess. But right. I think, you know, we're entering the second wave of free agency. And I think this any signings moving forward are going to reflect that.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the work right now for the Giants, unless they can make a smaller signing, and A'shaun Robinson wouldn't be a small signing per se, because he's a good player. He's been a good player right. in the league for a while. But I don't think you're going to see any more huge moves, any more right. Darren Waller-type trades. I think you're right. I think what we're going to see is a lot of contract work. Williams, right. Barkley, Dexter Lawrence, like you said, anything else that they might want to do, you know, contract wise. I think that's the news that we're going to see, you know, going forward.
Yeah, I agree. They just don't have the money. I mean, you want to get into cap hell again by kicking, you know, the can down the road. I don't think Shane wants to do that if he doesn't have to.
No, he doesn't. And people keep asking me, well, why didn't the Giants just take, you know, why didn't they make Kenny Golladay a post June 1 cut?
Couldn't wait. And they needed the money.
They needed the money. Plus, you know, Joe said this at the combine. We'd like to be done with this contract. We'd like to take our medicine. Mm-hmm. And it was going to cost them the same amount of money over the 2 years, either way. It was just right. a matter of whether for accounting purposes, were they going to do half of it this year and half of it next year right. and kick $6.8 million into next year. And they just chose to take the hit now. And that's fine, because you keep kicking the money down the road and sooner or later that catches up with you too.
Absolutely. So I don't fault them for it. I mean, yes, it would have been nice to have the 13 plus million, but that money wouldn't have been available to them until June 1st anyway.
Right.
They got stuff they got to get done now. So, you know, down the line, you redo, you know, maybe you get Dexter extended, or you do something with Leo, or, you know, I don't know.
You could do something with McKinney if you really wanted to at some point,
well,
too, if you feel good about him going forward.
I would wait to see how his hand comes through. But you can do something down the line. I don't think you have to rush right now. I mean, the priority is obviously filling in whatever else they need. And that's why I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of more, you know, other than maybe veteran minimum type deals or smaller signings.
Right. Right. All right. I think, Patty, I think that's a good place for us to wrap it up. Thank you as always. I wanted to, you know, let folks know if you've got anything special coming up here over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. I mean, we're doing draft previews over on Giants Country, as well as we'll have analysis and some other stuff. I've got a couple of cap items that I'm going to work on. Hopefully if we have some quiet time this week, like last week. And then on the Locked On Giants podcast, I've got some really cool guests lined up for the week. We'll hear about Jeff Smith, a receiver that I don't think a lot of people know about. So I'm going to have Locked On Jets host John Butchko come on, and he's going to talk about that. I'm going to have, I've got a former NFL player coming on. So just, yeah, I've got a whole bunch of stuff coming on with the Locked On Giants podcast, which is available on YouTube as well as any place you get your podcasts.
Cool. All right, Patty, thanks again. And Giants fans, thank you as always for listening. Please remember to stay safe out there, take care of each other, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Support for this show comes from Pendo. Pendo improves the apps your customers and employees rely on. Whether you're building applications for customers or managing applications for employees, Pendo can help deliver better experiences for your users so they can get more value from your software. Pendo also provides AI-powered product analytics that fuel in-app guides to deliver personalized guidance to customers directly inside your app. Visit pendo.io/podcast to learn more about how your team can use Pendo to start building better digital experiences. There, you can also check out Pendo's lineup of free certification courses, 12 hours of in-depth training for your product management teams on topics from AI to product analytics to product-led growth. That's pendo.io/podcast to learn more.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure, it's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.